Hey, good morning, everybody. Alan Ellis here. This is the Outdoorsman Radio Show, where we talk about fishing and hunting in the great outdoors. Interesting week. Last week, we went home and headed to the woods, and actually headed to the marsh last week in the afternoon, and got there and was able to watch interaction of wildlife from a deer stand, and it was quite interesting. Saw a lot of ducks. In specific, I saw a pair of mallards, a drake and a hen, beautiful, full plumage. I saw a pair of black ducks, and I saw three pairs of wood ducks, all kind of swimming together but yet separate. The wood ducks and the other two bigger ducks, the blacks and the mallards, kind of stayed apart from each other. The black duck pair and the mallard pair kind of got along. But all of this is in anticipation of the corn feeder going off, which was triggered a little after 4 o'clock. So you could tell that these birds, every now and then they'd run in. They'd swim in to check to see if the feeder had gone off. And of course, when it goes off, it sprays corn and they know it's there, you know. So, as it got closer and closer, it was interesting to watch. The wood ducks would slide in, and there, you know, six of those glide in. The feeder is, the marsh is flooded, so there's water there. I mean, that's, you know, that's where the corn's going to wind up in the water. So these birds would swim in and, you know, in front of the feeder, and then they'd swim around a little bit, and then they'd swim back out, and then the wood ducks would, I mean, and the black ducks and the mallards would swim in. The closer it got to feeding time, you could see them taking up their areas of dominance, whereas the pair of mallards, in particular the drake, the biggest of the ducks, was pretty much camped out and kind of had an attitude like, yeah, I'm first. And then black ducks were kind of second, and the wood ducks were like, okay, guys, we'll wait our turn. So interesting to watch that, you know, that dynamic for half hour before the feeder went off. Feeder goes off. And of course, you know, in the stand, you're texting the other fellas on the property. And, you know, you see anything. Oh yeah, I got two hinds here and, you know, one on the far feeder and, you know, that type of thing. We're telling each other what we're seeing. Feeder goes off, and it's about 5 minutes after the feeder goes off, and I said, feeder just went off, nothing yet. And I look up, and there were four hinds walking in. There they are. And when I say hind, that's a female sika deer. It's a doe, okay? That's what a hind is. The males are called stags. The females are called hinds, just what they are. So the two big hinds, the two biggest ones, and I couldn't see really how big the other two were, wound up with six altogether. But the two biggest ones, directly under the feeder, and that was another interesting dynamic. They watched each other because they were kind of same size competitors a little bit, you know, whether they were competitors for breeding rights or food or what, but I don't know that they were sisters or cousins or.
But they were sizing each other up.
They were sizing each other up, yeah. And you see them kind of side-eyeing each other, you know, and they got one eye on the other one and one eye on the feeder motor, you know, where the corn comes from.
Sure.
You know. And you could sense this tension rising, and then all of a sudden, one would come about, you know, a foot off the ground, you know, on her back legs, and
uh-huh.
then and the other one would match her, and then it got to this waving.
Cat fight,
yeah, waving in the front hooves, you know, at each other.
Cat fight between
six. Yeah, nobody's striking anybody, but they're like. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, like two girls in a bar fight.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
The only thing they couldn't do, the sika deer, was grab each other's hair.
They couldn't grab each other's hair, no. No, they could. No opposing thumbs, that's the problem.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, no.
That's always the
exactly.
problem.
So, opposable, I guess, is yeah. the right word. So, yeah, that was kind of cool to watch. And then they kind of all fed and, you know, came and went, and the stag never showed up, so.
Off they went.
And so did I. Yeah. Yeah. But that was fun. That was fun.
Mm-hmm.
Tuesday, we come in here to pre-record the January 5th show. We've got Paul Padding from the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. He's with the Flyway Council representative on the Atlantic Flyway. And then we had Josh Homiak, who's the waterfowl project guy here in Maryland, and his boss, Bill Harvey, who's a game bird leader.
He's been on before.
Neither one.
Really?
Neither one.
Sounds familiar.
Neither one. Excellent waterfowl show coming up.
I was going to say, sounds good.
Yeah. I mean, the whole process and why they can kill more birds in New York than we get here, and the difference between resident birds and you know, the Atlantic population, the migrators, you know, mm-hmm. and the dynamics there and the management practices and so forth. It was eye-opening. It was eye-opening. And, you know, I may have put out this number that said we killed 176,000 geese here last year. And I may have said that's a full 40% of the population. That is a full 7 or 8% of the total Canada goose population in the
wow.
flyway.
Okay.
Okay. It's a 40% of the harvest of Canada geese is killed right here in the Delmarva Peninsula.
Mm-hmm.
In, well, Maryland.
Yeah.
Yeah. So now it's a big difference in 40% of the total Atlantic flyway goose population. Mm-hmm. So I apologize for that's a lot
of numbers.
Well, it was a number that's been bantied about,
sure.
you know, and been put out there, and probably mistakenly. So, you know, I didn't originate that number. That was a number that I'd heard from others. So, anyway, that's going to be a great show. And I didn't want to do that. This computer's acting up today. I had a buddy that had a Commodore 64 that was faster than this. If anybody remembers that.
Huh? What?
1982, Chris.
Yeah, we remember those days. That was the hottest thing going back then.
So now I got to log in again. So anyway, we were Wednesday. I was checking the email, and here comes an email from Josh. And I'll read that to you in just a minute as soon as my email opens. Because I got to type in my password and all that stuff here. So anyway, has to do with Canada goose season. Canada goose season has been underway. It's hit or miss. Some people are seeing birds. Some people are not seeing birds. Some people are, you know, doing okay on mm-hmm. a hunt. Other people are doing great. Other people are doing nothing. So it's kind of a hit or miss, very spotty where the geese are. There's not a lot of geese out there. So, let's see. Here's what it is. And there's a lot. This went out to like 31 people. So, it went to all members of the Wildlife Advisory Committee and everything else. It's called the One and Done Campaign. And Josh sent it out. The blow is being sent on behalf of DNR Wildlife and Heritage Service Director Paul Petito. Dear AP Canada Goose stakeholders, this is a group of people who were invited to a meeting in September where the numbers were discussed and the warning was put out there. Please click here for a link to DNR's One and Done campaign. The idea for this campaign grew out of the mid-September stakeholders meeting attended by most on this email distribution list. Many in the hunting community also called on DNR to implement a campaign for a voluntary reduction in bag limits for this year. It's our hope that this will spread the word about the population decline experienced by the AP goose population and inspire many to practice voluntary restraint while hunting for the remainder of the season. Please let me know if you have any questions. We wish you and yours a happy holiday season. So you click on it, and it's more of the same. It gives you some resources that we'll continue to talk about in the January 5th show. But as far as I know, the idea for the one and done, the voluntary restraint, was floated by one of our directors who happens to be in charge of the Upper Bay Gun Club. The one bird pledge from Upper Bay Gun Club and a number of folks from that group have started a Facebook page and that type of thing. And so that happened like almost immediately after this meeting. You know, Tom Slavin and others that were at this meeting kind of came up with this idea. And the interesting thing was that the meeting was the day after the Maryland Hunting Coalition benefit at Annie's on the Eastern Shore. And, you know, there was much discussion. Tom Slavin was there and Bill Miles, our advocate, was there, and the president of the Guides and Outfitters Association was there, and other interested waterfowlers were there, and they were, you know, talking about this meeting and planning on attending. So, there was a number of things discussed, but the one in, one bird limit was voluntarily was floated by Tom Slavin, which was great. So here's what it says. Take the pledge, one and done. Now, remember, this came out, I believe, December 19th, fully 3 months after the meeting in September. With the unsettling news of fewer breeding pairs of Canada geese and very late spring thaw that caused a near-complete nesting failure this year, the Maryland Department of Natural Resources is urging hunters and waterfowlers to consider voluntarily reducing your daily bag limit to one goose a day during the Atlantic Population Canada goose hunting season. Preserving as many breeding-age geese will be key to the population's recovery. And then there's some did you know questions, which we've talked about here and we'll continue to talk about. What can you do? Take the one and done pledge and consider voluntarily reducing your bag limit to one Canada goose a day during the migratory goose hunting season. Consider limiting the opportunities in your blinder pit to those who are new to the sport and could benefit from the attention of an experienced mentor. Consider hunting the overabundant snow goose. The department offers liberal bag limits and extended season for that species. Support habitat management practices such as leaving standing row crops, planting cover crops, and limiting disturbance to roost areas. These practices help ensure wintering geese will leave Maryland in the best possible physical condition, ready and able to begin nesting as soon as weather permits. So, however, there is no form, there is no link to sign up for the One Bird Pledge. Since it's voluntary, you know, just, I guess, sign the document in your heart. Put your hand in the air and repeat after me. I vow to take the One Bird Pledge. And what else? I mean, what else are you supposed to do?
Boy Scout honor.
I guess. It's whatever you want to do.
Yeah.
You know? So.
I mean, it's only going to benefit you in the long run.
Well, of course it's going to benefit hunters, but I mean, 3 months? 3 months after the meeting?
Yeah, it's a little late.
A week or more into the season?
Yeah.
You know, where were you? Where you been? Who knows?
Bureaucracy.
Boy, I'll tell you. You think that Commodore 64 was slow? You ought to try the government. So. it's even worse.
Messenger pigeons would be faster.
Whatever was before the Commodore 64, that's what they use.
Snail mail.
It might be snail mail. It might be amoeba mail. Don't they move a little slower? I'm not sure. No, maybe amoebas move a little faster than snails.
Slugs.
Make any analogy you want. The wheels of any government turn extremely slowly.
That's right.
The lawmaking process in 90 days that we have here in Maryland is pretty interesting. 3,000 bills or so on average get submitted every year, and they pass only a handful of them. Uh-huh. But if anybody's interested in reading how that process goes, go to the Maryland Hunting Coalition page, mdhuntingcoalition.org, and read Politics 101, How Laws Are Passed. The forefathers, the founders, were brilliant in coming up with the process.
Uh-huh.
On how to get something done. The purpose is not to pass a whole bunch of laws. Remember, our government was was created on freedom from government. And the government was not supposed to be this overarching, you know, supply everything for everybody.
No.
You know?
And they weren't supposed to be lifetime politicians,
right. Lifetime
partner. I mean, there were surveyors, bricklayers, you name it. It was dentists, doctors.
Protect the country. Yep. I mean, keep the country safe.
Mm-hmm.
You know, protect our borders.
Exactly.
Okay. And that was pretty much it.
Mm-hmm.
And let the people pretty much do what they want. Let the states pretty much do what they want. But let's have this alliance. I mean, it's a perfect system almost, you know. Everybody has a Bill of Rights, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So,
basic anyway. Civics class.
Yeah, well, you know, they don't teach anymore.
Take
that anymore. Yep. Yeah, yeah, you know. Today we're going to have history class. Let's look back at a decade before the year 2000, because that's the only time anything ever happened.
That's pretty much it.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yeah, so let's go all the way back to the 90s.
I used to work in a job where there were young people, and there was a guy who was my age, and we asked him, you know, we were talking, and I said, let's go ask these kids what they learned in school. So we walked up to him and said, well, you know, what do you know about World War One? Huh?
Hmm?
What do you know? Do you know who started or what was involved in World War Two? No.
Mm-mm.
How about Vietnam? No. So what wars do you go back to, and what do you know about them?
Mm-hmm.
And the first Gulf War, and they said even then we barely spend like 15, 20 minutes
yep.
on it.
Yep. Exactly. What's a Kuwait?
Exactly.
And how do they taste?
How do you cook them?
How do you cook a Kuwait? Oh, good God. We're wandering far afield here. So anyway, okay. Tuesday after the show, and that brought up the One Goose Pledge and all that stuff. I mean, I can just prattling here. But we are giving away we are signing up people for the muzzleloader today. I neglected mm-hmm. to mention
got
that.
Got my pen ready. And
got your pen ready. And yeah. All you got to do is call in, 410 mm-hmm. WCBM 680, 410-922-6680. Chris will take your name, phone number. And next week, the 29th, we'll draw that final winner for the year, and they'll get their nice new muzzleloader. Both of our previous winners have already received their muzzleloaders. I follow up on that, so that's all good.
It's quick.
Well, yeah, they're very good people, very uh-huh. good. Anyway, so I talk about muzzleloaders. I have two mountain rifles from CV. I love the mountain rifle. It's a very easy-to-handle firearm.
Uh-huh.
And they both shoot extremely well. They shoot different loads. So I'm getting ready to probably go consistent across the board with those two. And then I purchased this long-range muzzleloader with a 30-inch barrel from CVA, the Special Edition LR. It has a 3-9 Leopold, whatever they call that scope that lights up the dot in the middle, the VR reticle dot. But anyway, a buddy of mine, Bruce, who's probably listening today, or Butch, I'm sorry, not Bruce, Butch, helped me sight it in, you know, and we went to the range and sighted it in, and my goal was to sight it in 3 inches high at 100, so it would be fairly accurate out to 200, because we've got a nice little alley in the marsh they call Stag Alley that's 175 to 195 yards. So I wanted something that muzzleloader would shoot that.
Mm-hmm.
So we sighted it in. We started 25. We made some adjustments as we went with things like Magnum primers versus standard primers. Found the standard primers performed better. We adjusted the powder charge down a little bit, stayed consistent with a 270-gram power belt bullet, also supplied by CVA. And we got it shooting great at 50, and then we moved to 100, and we found out that we needed to do some further adjustment, and the final outcome was 2 inches high at 100 yards, and I am tickled. I am tickled. So, anyway. Looks like we got some folks trying to get in touch with us here via text and also online. And we're on the phone finally as well. It's time for me to tell you about a couple of our sponsors. All right. Hang on, Robin. I'm going to put you on quiet. Well, vibrate for a minute because your special little tone is going out over the microphone, which is okay. For almost 10 years, hunters have relied on OnX to help navigate public and private land boundaries across the country. OnX Hunt is the only tool comprised of over 400 countrywide maps that gives clear private and public land boundaries and trails and hunting-specific data and more. New map layers are constantly being added. By pairing with some of the leading names in conservation and the outdoor industry like the National Wild Turkey Federation and Quality Deer Management Association. So whether it's on your smartphone or your handheld GPS, make the most of your precious time in the field by navigating with OnX Hunt. Hey, guess what's coming up? The Great American Outdoor Show. It's the world's largest outdoor sports show, February 2nd to the 10th in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. 650,000 square feet of guns and hunting and fishing and archery. Over 1,100 outdoor exhibitors. More than 200 seminars from the outdoor pros. Over 400 hunting and fishing outfitters. Interactive events, your favorite outdoor celebrities, and entertainment for the whole family. And they're fun, like the, you know, like the Lumberjack Show and that type of thing. The NRA Country Concert featuring Lee Bryce, Easton Corbin, and Tyler Farr. Live the adventure at the Great American Outdoor Show, February 2nd to the 10th at the Pennsylvania Farm Show Complex in Harrisburg. Tickets are on sale now at greatamericanoutdoorshow.org. Alan Ellis here for Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie Spray-On Bedliners. Linex Spray-On Bedliners rated number one, carry a nationwide lifetime warranty. Linex Spray-On Bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust in your bed. Your tools, your tackle, your crabbing and hunting gear can't hurt your truck bed. Choose the Linex Premium Bedliner or the Linex Extra. Both look great. And Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex now offer truck gear, the toughest accessories for your truck. Step bars, tonneau covers, floor liners, grill guards. You get it. Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie provide the best protection for your truck. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex Spray-On Bedliner, truck gear, and accessories. Catonsville Linex, new location, 2076 Lord Baltimore Drive in Windsor Mill, just off Security Boulevard across from Coons Ford. 410-455-0800. That's 410-455-0800. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, located at 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. Call 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199. Linex. Hey, the first choice for Eastern Shore hunters and anglers is Chesapeake Outdoors. In the midst of the waterfowl season here, I'd just like you to know they have firearms and ammunition. They have everything for waterfowl. The largest selection of waterfowl calls in the area in all major brands. Decoys, steel shot, gear, camo, large selection of clothing, boots, hips, and waders. And if you are successful, you will get your chance to take your goose or your ducks into Chesapeake Outdoors and have them picked today. That's for sure. You can get them picked, you can get them breasted, you can get them plucked, whatever you want to do. Just tell them what you want, and they'll get it ready for you. They'll get your goose ready to cook for Christmas. What do you think about that? Rambo bikes, banded camo, scent lock apparel, crossbows by Raven and Excalibur and Ten Point and others. We've got Costa sunglasses, great Christmas gift, Costa sunglasses. Yeti coolers and tumblers, another great Christmas gift. Those Yeti tumblers and mugs for your outdoorsmen, and Bubba Blade knives if you process your own game. Muzzleloaders and accessories from CVA and Thompson Center. Located Route 50 East, exit 39B. That's Route 50 East off the Bay Bridge. Exit 39B, Dominion Road, right there in Kent Island, 410-604-2500. 410-604-2500.
If you're a working man and your truck breaks down, you only need to know one repair shop, W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg. They built your reputation on getting you in, fixed, and out the door quickly, efficiently, and at a very competitive price. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles, large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Just look for that big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410, W&W Tire.
Hey, the Browning BPS has what most other pump shotguns don't. Features like a rigid dual machine steel action bars, a forged machine steel receiver, a convenient top tang safety and bottom ejection for ambidextrous operation, and legendary Browning balance and handling. All gauges are available in both 12-gauge and 20-gauge deer models. You know what? We were in a public location here this week, and there was a young guy in there talking about a BPS that his dad bought, and he was talking about how he loaded in through the bottom and ejects out through the bottom, and he said it's a really nice gun. I didn't say it. Some young man did. Check out the BPS shotguns at Clyde Sports Shop, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, just off Beltway Exit 9. Give them a call, 410-242-6108. Clyde's is your full-line Browning dealer. Browning, the best there is.
Talk Radio 680. WCPM.
I'm listening to a story about a man named Jed. A poor mountaineer barely kept his family fed. And then one day he was shooting at some food, and up to the ground come a bubbling crude. Oil, that is, black gold, Texas tea.
Well, the first thing you know, old Jed's a millionaire. The kinfolk said, Jed, move away from there. Said, California is the place you ought to be. So they loaded up the truck and they moved to Beverly Hills, that is, swimming pools, movie stars. A Beverly Hillbilly.
Wonder how Jed and the family would like California now, as opposed to the way it was in the 60s when they were there. David, Perry Hall. Good morning, David. How are you?
I'm doing well, Alan. I'd like to wish you and everyone in Radio Land a Merry Christmas.
Well, thank you. Appreciate that.
Yep. And, of course, I want to be in the muzzleloader contest.
But yep.
Can I plug one of your sponsors?
Which one?
Battery Warehouse.
Good people, aren't they?
Yes. I needed to get a battery, and I stopped at the Parkville Kearney store.
Yep.
And they asked me what car it was, and it was my daughter-in-law's car. It wouldn't start. It was a dead battery, cold day, blah, blah, blah.
Yep.
And they knew exactly how to take that battery out. It had a strange arrangement to me, the battery holder, and they saved me a lot of trouble by telling me things not to do that I probably would have done. So, yeah.
I was at the Eldersburg store for some reason a couple of weeks ago, and a fellow came in with a battery problem, and Randy, who's behind the counter there and pretty much runs the place, he and his wife, he's telling this guy all this technical stuff about his battery and what does this and what does that. I'm like, you know, this is more than just your battery store. Not only tell you what to do, they tell you how to do it and why you're doing it and what not to do, just like you said. So, I enjoy them as a sponsor, and I enjoy them as a company, you know.
Yeah.
So, and they're good people. And I buy all my batteries for my stuff there too. You know, I mentioned this Leopold scope with the battery in it. What is it, Chris? A 2032 battery, the round ones? Is that what it is? Is that the number?
They're about the size of a dime.
Yeah. I buy those there for my scopes. They have the great flashlights. They have the chargers for your phone. You know, you charge them up at home, and then you take them out in the field with you. You can charge your phone out in the field. They've got all kinds of stuff. I mean, I love it. Not just car batteries. No, they got every battery for everything. I mean, the commercial tells you it's every battery for everything.
There's only one other aspect of this job I had. My 4-year-old grandson volunteered to help OPA.
Well, that's great.
And that 1-hour job turns into 3.
Well, that's Murphy's Law.
Yeah. Well, that's Murphy's Law. But those 3 hours went faster than if it was by myself.
Oh, yeah, sure. You've heard Murphy's Law of Time, right?
Time, right.
Yeah, Murphy's Law of Time goes like this. If you declare that this is only going to take 5 minutes, you immediately move it to the next higher time frame and double the number. Yeah, so it's a 5-minute job turns into 10 hours. That's basically how that works. Yeah.
All right,
David. Merry Christmas. Thanks for the call.
Okay.
See you, buddy.
New Year.
You too, buddy. Bye bye. Yep, that's how that works. That is how that works. Hey, you know what? I didn't mention this week. We had our anniversary last week. You know, as we talked about here on the air.
Uh-huh.
Robin called in. We went to Ocean City for the night. Just to kind of get away, you know, relax a little bit. We had a nice meal down there at Ruth's Chris, and I recommend those folks to anybody, and that's a free spot on me. What a meal. Anyway, we called Dave and Gina at Bay Country Bakery and said, hey, we need a little anniversary cake, something featured, you know, winter features. Oh, what do you want? You know, almond cake, you know, chocolate ganache, vanilla icing. Yeah, that sounds good. Let's do that. So we come out with like a 5-layer cake with chocolate ganache layers, you know, almond flavor. Yeah, vanilla icing. And then Gina put some little snowflakes on top and wrote happy anniversary. It was nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, a little 6-inch cake. Oh, I can't eat, you know, that kind of stuff anymore. But I had a little slice here and a little slice there. And, you know, watch myself very, you know. But, yeah, Bay Country Bakery, you know, Cambridge. They have a great breakfast from 6 to 11 a.m. Monday through Friday and all day Saturday. They have the most delicious fresh baked donuts, pastries, cakes, cookies, and breads on the Eastern Shore. They're busy this time of year. Enough for everyone in camp. You know, when I'm on Route 50 and I'm heading to or from the deer stand or the duck blind, my mouth, my belly can't wait to stop at Bay Country Bakery for a donut or a sandwich and a fresh cup of hot coffee. I just look for the big donut on the side of the bakery, that big old giant pink donut. You get down past there today, Chris?
I will.
Yeah.
I will be going by there.
Well, look for the big pink donut with sprinkles on the side of the building. It's only about the size of this room. The donut.
Oh, okay.
The painted, the
okay,
big painted donut.
Gotcha.
It's that big. I mean, it's huge.
Huge.
Yeah, 8 foot diameter at least. And anyway, I look for that, and then even after your morning hunt from 11 till 2, you can grab a tasty lunch. Dave and Gina Levy, your hosts. They're trained chefs. They strive to bring you the best, and they do. Bay Country Bakery, located at 2951 Coastal Highway, just through Cambridge on Route 50 East. Think Big Donut. Visit their website, like their Facebook page, Bay Country Bakery. Be sure to stop by, say hello. Maybe you'll see Robin and me there like we were there Monday. You know, never know. 410 WCBM 680, 410-922-6680. Are you going to take the One Goose Pledge? Do we have the waterfowl hunters out there that are headed out this morning? Are you going to take the One Goose Pledge? What do you think of this suggestion by our Department of Natural Resources? It's one thing for a private hunt club to do that, you know, and invite people that are in their ranks to become involved. It's strictly voluntary. You want to shoot two geese, shoot two geese. That's all right. Well, nobody's going to make you feel guilty. It's just an effort, a conservation effort. That's all. One and done. Bang. You know, Uncle Dale from Easton, I've hunted with him probably, I don't know, 10 more years now. And Uncle Dale gets the opportunity. He takes one goose, and he's done. That's all I need, Alan. Okay? He's done it for years. You know, of course, he guided for years and years and years and shot his many, many limits of geese. And then, you know, he errs on the side of conservation. If it's an error, I think it's great. So... And I've been on hunts where we've limited out on those resident goose hit hunts with five apiece. I've been on the last goose hunt we were on with Jacob in January of this year. We all limited out. There was, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 of us in the blind, including guide, and, we limited out. Had a great time. Here's Greg on the Eastern Shore. Greg, good morning. How are you? Hello, Greg.
Hello. How you doing, Alan?
Good. You?
Oh, fine. I went to trade a muzzleloader for a very small joke.
Okay. I'll give you the joke. You send me the muzzleloader.
No, I want to send you the joke.
Oh, I misunderstood.
You like this. It's just very short.
Okay.
Two Irishmen walk out of a bar.
Two what?
Two Irishmen walk out of a bar.
Okay. We have our finger on the button.
All right. One more thing.
No. If it's clean, you can tell it, but...
Oh, it's very clean. It's very clean. Listen,
All right.
I was always under the influence that the reason why we were drug into World War II is the Japanese attacked Pearl Bailey.
Okay, well, that's probably a part of it.
Okay, that's it. No more jokes. Okay, but I love your show. I listen to it every Saturday morning. I love it.
Okay. Well, I appreciate that, Greg. Thanks for the call, buddy.
Thank you, man.
See ya.
Have a good one.
All righty. Bye-bye.
Merry Christmas to you.
You too. Bye-bye. A rabbi, a pastor, and a priest walked into a bar. Bartender turned around and said, "What is this, a joke?" Yeah, that was a bad one. Hey, chat with Newman. I just got a spam email. Robin will appreciate that. This one's from Ashley Madison. This one goes in the junk folder. Let's see. There we go. Yeah, I'm not going to chat with any new members today. 410 WCBM 680, 410-922-666. I get all kinds of junk email. I'm not sure why.
Somebody somewhere is selling your email address.
Oh, yeah. I have no doubt. I get it on my phone. I get it on my PC. Yeah, I get. And when one of my friends is hacked... Mm-hmm. You know, I'm sure everybody on our list gets an email. Hey, look at this. Mail exactly. enhancement or whatever it might be, you know.
Yeah, like, that's where they get most of them.
Yeah.
Is out of people's email address books.
Yep.
But spam on toast.
Spam on toast?
Yeah.
You like that?
Yeah.
You like spam?
You know where it's really big?
Where's that?
Speaking of spam, Hawaii. Apparently, there are so many flavors of spam, and I mean, like, spam and pineapple, jalapeno spam, but it's really big in Hawaii.
Okay. Spam. I like it. Spam, yeah. Scrapple, any ground processed meat seasoned correctly is good with me.
Yeah. That's yeah. That kind of spam is more interesting than email spam.
That's true.
Food right. is always a good thing.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm thinking I got to bring you a crockpot goose. Now, again, Uncle Dale from Easton used to be Dale from Denton. Now he's Dale from Easton. Weighed coffee yesterday, and we were talking about the Instapot versus the crockpot when it comes to goose. He likes the crockpot a little better. Goose is a little bit more tender, but you're talking 5 hours as opposed to an hour. Instapot cooks it thoroughly, of course, still tender. Still tasty, but, you know, old ways, you know, sometimes are better than the newest technology. So, like the Commodore 64 versus the whatever this system is here. 410 WCBM 680, 410-922-6680 is our phone number. Welcome aboard. We'd love to have you enter the muzzleloader contest. All you do is call in. We take your name, your phone number, write it down. Don't share it with anybody. And then we, you know, you put you on the list for drawing next week for the free muzzleloader from the fine folks at CVA. I urge you to take a look at their website, CVA.com or BPIGuns.com. Take a look at all the models, all the connotations that they have, and decide what's best for you. I have been shooting CVAs for a long time, and I highly recommend them. I've got all the others. I've got the Thompson Centers. I've got the 1, 2, 3 of those. I've got a Sieve 1, 2, 3. I had 4 CVAs. I have a Remington muzzleloader that I've taken some of my biggest deer with, and you know they all still shoot great. I've just adapted to CVA because they've been a sponsor here so long, and I like to know what I'm talking about when I tell you folks about it, how they shoot and that type of thing and how accurate they are. The key is your optics. The key is having, you know, some of the ones that come with the scope mounts, their mounting system is so solid and so good. Doesn't matter which scope you put on there. Okay. And I've shot everything from Bushnell to Nikon to Leopold, and anymore when I buy a firearm or a scope for a firearm, it's going to be a Leopold, or you know, it depends on the gun, but I may put a Nikon on it. I've not tried too many of the others. Can't afford the Swarovski. I've not tried Zeiss. I hear they're good. I've not tried Vortex, but I know some people that have tried Vortex and they love them. And there's some other brands out there as well. And, you know, Burroughs and more. I just happen to like what I like. And I've had a Leopold on my, 270, my Ruger 77, 270 bolt action rifle since I was 28 years old. And I've taken 2 deer with it this year, and I never have to do anything with it except sight it in. And it's usually just a very tiny minor adjustment, if at all. Usually a 1-shot or 2-shot sight in when I take that to the range. And it just shoots like a dream. And it's very accurate, and it's been very steady, and it hasn't left me down in 28, a lot of years, 35 years. So there you go. Let's talk to David on the Eastern Shore. Good morning, David. How are you?
Good morning.
What's up?
I'm curious about the permits that farmers get for shooting their deer in or out of season. I'm not a hunter, so I don't know how that works.
Okay, here's how it works. A farmer applies for deer management permit. Used to be called crop damage permits, okay? DNR comes out, takes a look at the property and says, yep, you got deer damage. How many do you want? And they say 100, and they say, we'll give you 20. And you fill those 20, check your deer in, register them. You know, you can get 20 more. Who are your agents? We need to know who's shooting them. We need to know how many you kill. And you, there are certain restrictions, like antlerless deer only for the most part. Now, there are some tree farms and orchards that have exceptions where they're able to take antlered animals, okay? So
yeah.
Then the farmer gets their permits, and they can shoot them 365 days a year, including Sundays. And in some counties, they can use rifles where hunters are only restricted to using firearms or using shotguns. So,
What about Talbot County?
Talbot County is, I believe, still shotgun only, but still they can shoot them 365.
Gotcha.
And
now, pile them up.
Now, what's that?
Are they required to donate them, or do they?
They're required. Yes, they're required to use them. They are required to use that carcass to donate it or use it for their own personal consumption, to waste it, to do what, we are is rumored to be out there is that, you know, these guys will gut shoot these animals and let them run off and die in the woodlot or die, you know, along the stream or something, and the buzzards eat them. And that's called wanton waste, and it is punishable, and it is a violation of the agreement, the crop damage agreement. Now, here's the dirty little secret that hunters don't know. Okay, that program's administered by the Maryland Department of Natural Resources, correct? David?
Yeah.
You with me? Okay.
Yes, sir.
It's administered by the Maryland Department of Natural Resources. Where does the money come from? The money to make those visits to the farm, the people that issue the permits, the people that keep track of the records, the people that reissue the permits. It cost about what we were told by the Director of Wildlife and Heritage Service at our summit, our hunting summit for the Maryland Hunting Coalition last September, that it's approximately the cost of 10 FTEs to administer the crop damage program here in Maryland. For your state employees, you know what a FTE is. It's a full-time employee.
Oh, wow.
We said put a number on it. He said $480,000, ballpark.
Oof.
Now, guess where the money comes from?
You and me.
Hunters. Hunting license money. It's not paid for by the taxpayers. It's paid for by the people who buy hunting license to administer that crop damage permit that is in a non-hunting situation, issued to farmers to kill deer to protect their crops, which I have no opposition to, 365 days a year, including Sundays. Hunters' dollars pay for that program.
Well, I'm hearing rifles. That's why I'm wondering.
Well, there are some counties that are allowed to use rifles. Caroline, for example.
Yeah, but I'm in Talbot.
I'm saying I don't believe Talbot has allowed rifles yet.
Okay, because I think something's going on, that's all.
Well, then your best bet is to call your natural resources police.
Will do.
That's,
thank you, sir.
I got it. You got it. Thanks.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, David. Thanks for that report. See ya.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Brian in Pasadena left. Joe in Middle River. Good morning, Joe.
Good morning, Alan. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
All right. Long-time listener. I figured with the bad week I've had, I figured I'd call, maybe get some good luck in the muzzleloader contest.
Okay. What kind of luck you need?
What's that?
What kind of luck you need?
I need any kind of luck. I'll put it to you this way. The other day, I walked in my basement to a foot of water. So.
No, that's not good. That's never a fun feeling. I feel your pain. I did that before at my house in Baltimore County. Yeah, no, it makes for a bad situation, especially right before the holidays. Did you get it cleaned up?
It's mostly cleaned up, yeah. They're working on it. It's drying out now.
Yeah. So what kind of luck do you need? Just any kind of luck?
Any kind of luck.
All right, well, here, raise your right hand, repeat after me. You ready?
Okay.
I, Joe from Middle River. Declare in my heart that my bad luck is over for the year 2018.
Declare in my heart that bad luck is over 2018.
Bless you. Have a wonderful holiday.
Thanks. You also.
See you, Joe.
All right.
Bye-bye. There he goes. Yeah, we did disconnect you there, Brian. Sorry about that. How you doing, Brian?
I'm wonderful, sir. How about yourself?
I'm doing great. What's going on?
Oh, not too much. I'm not blind right now with my 9-year-old to do some muzzle loading.
Okay.
Wanted to talk to you about some turkey hunting and also have a way better joke than the pathetic ones that you guys have been attempting here.
All right. Well, why don't you tell the joke first, and then we'll talk about turkey hunting.
Yes, sir. What do you call a smart blonde?
Uh-oh.
A golden retriever.
Oh, that's horrible. That's horrible. Well, you know, a blonde and a brunette were discussing the Christmas, and this was a couple years ago, and the brunette said, you know, I think Christmas falls on a Friday this year. And the blonde said, oh, no, I hope it's not the 13th.
I love it. All right, well, Buzz, tell me, you're a veritable expert on all this stuff. I love listening to your show. Every time I'm, you know, heading out of the water, I'm heading out in the woods to blind.
What do you want to know about turkey hunting?
All right, so I'm pretty new to it. I mean, I've been fishing, crabbing, and deer hunting for a very long time. But I'm on the spot up in Parkton now, and I've got turkey coming in all around my blind.
Right.
And so now it's got me really wanting to try to pursue them.
Right.
What's the laws in the region B? It's behind in Baltimore County. I know it's different from the A. Is there a winter season?
There is a winter season. Yes.
It's like a
2 or 3 day season, and I'm trying to find it for you. If you give me a minute, I'll find it either this hour or next. But
do you know? Are you allowed to take females as well, or is it just?
Yes, either sex.
Either sex was probably one, like a limit of one for the season.
One winter bird. Yes, there it is. Hold on.
And now, if you're hunting them with shotgun,
right.
I guess you use probably something like what, a pheasant shot and go for the head.
That's the game plan, yes. Go for the head. That's the best idea. You are limited. I think the largest shot you're allowed to use is 4, but I'm trying to come up with the, here it is. Oh, there's the Take the Pledge one and done. Canada Goose, Public Dove, Wild Turkey. Here we go. I'm looking on the DNR website. So why don't you hang in there for a minute, Dave or Brian? Keep listening. How long you got till you get to the blind?
I got about 20 minutes.
Okay, hang in there. I'm gonna let you go take some other callers before the end of the hour. I don't think we're gonna get our break in like we should, but we'll do our best. Okay.
Thanks, sir. I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
All right, stay tuned. Thanks, Glenn and Easton. How are you?
Doing great. How are you?
Good. What's going on?
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you.
Yeah, I just wanted to confirm, Talbot County is a shotgun for deer.
That's right.
Although if you're using a muzzleloader, that's just like shooting a rifle with these new inlines.
That's true. But this man was specifically talking on crop damage.
Yeah.
So he thinks there's something going on, which shocks me.
I'm shocked there's gambling going on here, right?
Exactly.
So, I know it's Caroline went rifle.
Yeah, I know Caroline did. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
So... But that there was a lot of opposition to it.
I know there was, and it was started by the farming community. They wanted rifles for crop damage permits, and DNR, in its wisdom, went against the General Assembly, who said no, and said sure. And then when they said, we said the farmers could use them. Well, we better let the hunters use them anyway. But that was in spite of the General Assembly's opposition to it. So
what do you think about the bump stock ban? Do you think this is slippery slope or?
I really haven't formed an opinion on that, quite frankly.
There's so many Elmer Fudds out there that like, oh, I don't like black guns, so I don't care about bump stock ban, you know. And
I know.
Unfortunately, it's the slippery slope, and you just can't beat it through their heads that they ban that part, you know. And Washington State right now, a Ruger 10/22 is considered an assault rifle.
That's correct.
It's insane.
That's right.
In New Jersey, they're talking about going door to door for magazine confiscation.
Well, we passed our red flag bill here last year in the General Assembly.
I know. And you know, I did everything I had to do legally to register my bump stock by sending a letter to the ATF. And of course, you get the letter back saying, "Why are you sending me this? We can't do anything."
Right.
So I take the copy out to my local sheriff, you know, and it's an absolute joke. The whole thing's a joke.
Yep.
Where.
It is.
All right. Well, I got to run.
All right. Same to you, Glenn. Thanks, buddy. See you. Bye-bye. Chuck in Hampstead. I don't think we're going to get to Chuck. We got to run a couple commercials. Just go ahead and run what? No, no time. Just keep going. We got to move them all the next hour. Hey, Chuck, you hunting today?
No, I can wait till next hour.
No, we're good. Okay. We got a minute here for you. What's up?
Oh, well, I want to wish you and Robin and everybody else a Merry Christmas.
Well, thank you so much. We appreciate that.
I got a question for you on your muzzleloader loads.
Okay.
You said you use the power belt, and I use a 295.
Right.
Power belt.
I use a 270. Yep.
And I used to use the hollow point. Now I use the arrow tip.
Arrow tip is the way to go.
But I have a problem with getting through and throughs.
I have always had that problem with the power belt with the hollow points.
Well, the one I just got this week,
yeah,
was shot with my arrow tips, and it wasn't a through and through.
That's amazing.
So I just was wondering what you used.
Yeah. So. Well, I'm at 140 grains on that. That's a little over, but that's where I'm at with that one. So. I'm still searching. I use. I can't even remember, Chuck, at this point.
I don't. I use white hot foot load.
Yeah, that's a good load. I use the Blackhorn 209.
All right,
we'll talk. All right, buddy. Thanks. Bye bye. Wow, blew that commercial set out of the water, didn't we? I guess we'll hear him next hour, won't we? Yeah, I know I'm horrible at it, from what I'm told. Well, the callers didn't call to the last part of the hour. I get it. And the jokes were okay. So now it's time for me to say, till the next hour, get out, stay out, stay safe.